This is the I Love Success podcast. I'm Peter Drukowski, and I have made a vow to myself to help as many people as possible to achieve their dreams. Let's get started. Hey guys, and welcome to the I Love Success podcast. This is the podcast where I meet the coolest and most successful people on the planet and share their stories. Are you ready? Because here we go. But before we get started, I want to say thank you to our sponsor, Heston's Beds in Los Angeles. I'm all about working hard and accomplishing what you want, but to do that, you need to sleep well and wake up well rested. Heston's deliver a world-class sleeping experience and have done so since 1852. Yes, that's right, six generations of handcrafted beds made from ethically sourced, pure natural materials. Heston's will change the way you sleep forever with the finest beds, mattresses, and bedding accessories in the world. If you're serious about success, you should be serious about your sleep. And Heston's can help you. Check them out at hestonsla.com. Thanks again, Heston's LA, for supporting our cause. Today's guest is a digital media professional with more than 15 years of experience in journalism, content strategy, writing, and editing. He was the deputy editor for, at the time, the largest content destination on the web, yahoo.com. In 2014, he was laid off when Yahoo went through a number of massive layoffs. That made him grow, and went after an MBA at Pepperdine University while co-founding his own storytelling agency, Storycraft. His name is Fat Chiem. Welcome, Fat.
Thanks so much, Peter, for having me on.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming. We're actually neighbors here at WeWork, so it's funny that we're so close to each other, but now we actually get the chance to talk about your life and what you have done, because it is something that I really admire.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here today.
Thank you, Fat. So let's just start about with you. Who is Fat, really, as a person?
That's a great question. I'm still trying to figure that one out. I think a good place to start is I am an immigrant. I was born in Vietnam right at the end of the Vietnam War. And I came to the United States when I was 5 years old. And I grew up in Southern California. And I have to say that is a big part of my identity, is coming from a different place and having to adapt to a new language and a new culture, and being able to understand a culture and to really experience that. I think that immigrant experience has carried me throughout my entire life, of being in a new place, meeting new people, and really grabbing on to their experiences. That has defined my life, my career.
So how was life working at the Tribune? What did you learn from there, and how did you transition over to working at Yahoo?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great question. So as a young reporter, you're doing everything. You do what's called general assignment, which means one day it could be a parade. The next day it could be a homicide. It could be a business story. It could be a lifestyle story. You really are just learning your craft. You're really learning the skills of being a journalist in a big city. I love that. That was like, that's an education, obviously. That's something that you can't get, like I said before, you really cannot get in the classroom. You have to go out and do it. Just learning some life lessons. Like, I remember I was asleep one morning, and I got woken up because my editor was calling me and saying there's this giant fire, warehouse fire. And I grew up in Orange County, you know, where it was warm, and, you know, there's no such thing as winter in Southern California. Yeah. And so I rushed out the door because, you know, I was like, I gotta go cover the story. I didn't take a jacket with me. I didn't take any gloves. And this is in the middle of winter in Chicago. As anyone knows who's been in Chicago in the middle of winter, it's cold and it's freezing. And so I got to the fire, and it was so cold that the water that was coming off the hoses, off the building, was freezing. So like, there's just giant puddle of ice all around this building because the water would turn to ice because it was that cold. And I didn't have a jacket. I didn't have gloves. And I'm trying to report on this story. I'm trying to write my notes in my notepad, and I'm freezing. I'm shaking so hard. And so I had to duck into, like, I think it was like a Dunkin' Donuts or something like that, just to warm up, just to get some coffee so that I could keep working. But that's one of those life lessons that you learned, being a young journalist. It's like, okay, you got to be prepared. You know, you gotta understand what you're getting into. So just things like that. And for example, learning to talk to people in the right way. So like, for example, there were times when you had to interview parents who had lost their kids in either like an accident or a homicide, which is horrific, right? And how do you even, as a 22-year-old, how do you even have the maturity to talk to, a mom whose kid was, 10-year-old has been shot, and killed by gangs or by, in one particular story, it was like an 11-year-old kid who was shot, and then the first initial story was, well, he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, that kind of thing. And then later we found out that really, no, he was actually part of the drug trade, that he was dealing, and then he had stolen some money from his boss or whatever. And then this was payback for doing that. It's really tough stories that you start to learn to learn to be a journalist. You have to learn to ask the tough questions. You have to learn how to approach people and get some comment or get some sort of story out of them, even when they don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, I can hear you're we're gonna talk more about storytelling, but I can hear like you're just talking about this, that you have really mastered your craft and worked a lot on this. So let's talk about, what did you do at Yahoo and how was that experience? But because at the time, Yahoo was the biggest platform online, right?
Yeah, that's right. And it still might be, I'm not sure. It's definitely one of the largest destinations for content on the web. Quickly to bring up to speed, I spent about 5 years at the Tribune in Chicago. I moved back home, partly because my grandmother, who I'd grown up with, was sick, and I knew that she was not going to be around for very long. And so I made the decision, like, I want to move back home. I want to be with her. I want to be closer to family. So that happened. And I started freelance writing to get by. And then I had a friend who got me into an interview at AOL. And I did that for 2 years. And then I got my job at Yahoo in Santa Monica. And I joined what is known as the homepage team or the front page team. And so this is the team that selects the content you see every day when you go to yahoo.com. And as one of the largest destinations, I basically got a really great front row seat to understand what people engage with on the web at huge scale, right? So we're talking about, at the time I was there, just the one section that I was working on at Yahoo, that one part of the front page, was getting about 1 billion clicks per month. So that's huge scale. I mean, there are websites who can barely break 1 million clicks a month, and they were getting 1 billion clicks every month. So you really start to understand, wow, what is this big audience? What are they interested in? What moves the needle in terms of like the kinds of stories that you can pick? And so it was a really interesting job, really, every single day trying to understand, it was sort of a mix of art and science, right? Because you had to pick stories that there were some stories that were obvious, like if there was a big shooting, if there was, you know, the elections were going on or the Olympics were going on. Those things were pretty obvious. You had to put those things in the front. But then there were sort of lifestyle choices that we had to pick that were not always so obvious, you know. So picking those stories and then positioning those stories to get the most clicks, because at the end of the day, that's what Yahoo wanted, right? They want more traffic. So I learned a lot about, like, how do you synthesize a story into a headline and one sentence of copy? You know, how do you take this long New York Times story or this long piece, and how do you essentially sell that story to your audience in just a few words, right? And how do you pick the best part of that story? So really, that's where that storytelling skill comes in, or that storytelling background is you have to be able to tell a story in one sentence, right? Or you have to be able to say, this is a really interesting piece this is a really interesting story that you should pay attention to. And how do you get people interested in that when they have so many other choices every single day?
Let's talk about at your own company, Storycraft. Why did you want to do it, and why is it such a great thing to be an entrepreneur?
So great question. During my MBA program, it was funny because I started the program, and a week later I was laid off. And so I had to get in front of my class and say, you know, listen, guys, I just got laid off. And so it was not the greatest sort of like introduction to my class. It'd be like, you know, all these sort of high powered executives who, you know, were getting the MBA. And I'm the one going up saying, I just got laid off. But it actually, again, like what we said, it really was the best thing that could happen, because I'd always kind of wanted to be an entrepreneur, but I never was able to do it because, I just didn't have that drive then, and now I do. So I was casting around for my next step, my next chapter. And I thought about all kinds of things, actually. I have a passion for food. I have a passion for gardening. And so I thought about, you know, maybe I should create some sort of new food product, you know. Or maybe I should do some sort of like e-commerce store around cooking and gardening. And during this time, I was consulting for companies and freelancing, and I was consulting for a CEO of a startup here in Santa Monica. I was basically ghostwriting stories for him, articles for him, because he wanted to be kind of a thought leader, and I was helping him with that. And at this company, my co-founder was the managing editor for content at that startup, and we hit it off, and we worked together really well. And when I left that consulting gig, and she left that company to move on to do to become director of content somewhere else, we stayed in touch, and she got in touch with me and said, "Hey, I'd love to find out what you're doing. Let's catch up over coffee." And when we met for coffee, we started thinking, you know, we both were getting requests to help people with their content strategy. And we together said, well, why don't we just start an agency? Because that way, instead of just being freelancers, we could grow something bigger. We could be bigger than just two people working for ourselves. And, you know, once I started thinking about it, it actually was a really, really good use of what my background was. So, you know, my background was in journalism, it was in content, it was being on the web. And then plus this MBA program that I was going through was giving me a lot of tools around business strategy. So having an agency that helps other people, that sort of takes the tools of journalism and storytelling, but helps them grow their business, it was a really perfect fit. And we called it Storycraft for a very deliberate reason, because we wanted to help other people craft their brand story, because we realized that a lot of people were passionate about what they were doing, but they were horrible communicators. They didn't understand how to talk about their own product in a way that captured customers or ignited, you know, attention from the press or from investors. And a lot of people were struggling with that and still do. And so we, with my co-founder's background in content and also in digital marketing and my background in journalism, it was really the best of both worlds. And to combine that and to help people with their brand story was just a perfect fit.
Good for you. First of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
It's really cool to see. And also, like what you said, having coffee. I think we should have more coffee with people we're interested in, right?
Yeah.
Because a lot of things starting to happen. And we're just talking about that people, the world consists of people. And I think that that's a great way to actually start. Like for young entrepreneurs, just like me, just meet more people, say, hey, you want to grab a coffee and just talk, because that's how it starts, right?
Yeah. No, yeah, I mean, that's why I love being at WeWork, because it is an environment where you can have a conversation over, you can have a conversation in the kitchen and come up with new ideas. And I'm actually, you know, have gone some great relationships here. I've met you, and I've met some people and I work with, and they've become my clients. And now, you know, for example, the woman who sits next to me right now is a graphic designer. Mm-hmm. And just yesterday we met because we want to do something together. We want to design some cool projects together, start some sort of new idea together, because she's got some great design chops. And I have some ideas of sort of e-commerce things I want to create. So just that synergy of ideas and creativity kind of meshing together, you know, I absolutely agree with you that, you know, the more people you meet, the more people you talk ideas with, you know, it's just going to help you grow.
Yeah. If you could go back, what would you tell your 20-year-old self?
Oh, wow. I would say that, that you're probably not that you have no idea what's ahead. Like I think it's easy when you're young to say, this is the way I'm gonna be, or this is what I'm gonna do with my life. Like be so, you know. I think the young people are just so sure of themselves and sure of what's going to happen. I feel like life is going to throw all kinds of things at you. And the best thing you can do is to be adaptable, yeah. You know, and to don't feel like a big part of life is just the act of discovery, you know, and discovering who you are and really leaning into that curiosity. So, you know, I think a lot of young people feel like, oh, I have to, you know, have it all figured out. I gotta go and do this business degree so I can become an entrepreneur. But the fact is, a lot of entrepreneurs start off as liberal arts majors. They studied art history, or they studied politics, or they studied social science or history, because business is a large part of business is understanding people. You know, it's not understanding how to do you know, a P&L statement, right? It's really like learning about people. And so, like, that's what I mean, is that be open to discovery and be open to and just be curious, right? So don't feel like the path toward your career is one narrow straight line. And it's never going to be, even if you want it to be, it's not going to be. So understand that there's going to be a lot of detours along the way, and to just lean into it and enjoy that path.
Almost like Bruce Lee said, be formless and shapeless like water, you know? Have a goal, but also be open that it can change on the way, because if you're too focused, you might not see the forest because it's right in front of you, or maybe you're standing right in it, right?
Yeah.
So thank you, Fat, for this amazing time with you.
I enjoyed it.
I had a great time, and it will help a lot of people. And thank you guys for listening in. And again, a big thanks to our sponsor, Hestens Beds Los Angeles. Hestens will change the way you sleep forever with the finest beds, mattresses, and bedding accessories in the world. If you're serious about success, you should be serious about your sleep. Check them out at HestensLA.com. And if you have any questions and comments, please email us at info@ilsuccess.com. And remember, if you like this podcast, share it with your friends, because that's how we grow and that's how we can help more people. And that's exactly what we want to do. Thanks again, Fat.
Thank you.